everyone. I'm Lori Casto.
And I'm Randall Casto.
And you're listening to the Created to Soar podcast brought to you by Wedgwood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community, and DevoteToday.com. How will you devote today? We just finished our discussion about the seven IMs.
Yes.
In John. So today I thought we'd take a little different approach and talk about satisfaction guaranteed.
Well, that sounds good.
So we've all heard the term satisfaction guaranteed, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, guaranteed or your money back, or fully satisfied or your money back. And I just thought that was such a, you know, we hear about that often. And in advertising, if you put the word guarantee on something, you're really giving it credibility.
Yes.
So, but I thought, you know, in the scripture, there are a lot of satisfaction guarantees.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to talk about those a little bit today, and we just wanted talk about that a little bit. And in Psalm 91:16, it says, I will satisfy him with long life. I will satisfy him with long life. And I was thinking about these satisfaction guarantees that are in the Bible, and I was thinking about how when you're sitting at a feast, you're at this big banquet table, and you're sitting there and you're eating, you're starved to begin with. And you can't wait to get to the table of food because you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this. You just knew it was going to be a big banquet. But then you sit down and you eat and eat and eat until you're completely satisfied. Your stomach is, there's no more hunger. You're satisfied. And then you kind of push away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of always how I thought about that. I will satisfy him with long life. And what satisfaction really is being satisfied to where you don't need to be, you're not hungry anymore. You're completely full. And so the next scripture when I'm thinking about these satisfaction guarantees is in Psalm 107:9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And I was thinking about the longing soul. What are some of the things, can you think of at the top of your head, that our soul longs for?
Oh my goodness. I think number one, I think people that don't know the Lord and they don't know why, there's a hunger in there, this calling for something more. I know there's something more. There's always that hunger, and it seems like a lot of people, and I've been there. I think a lot of people can relate. I wasn't expecting this question, but now that you get me thinking about it, people that they go after everything, and you think that they think they're fulfilled until they find the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes to live in their hearts. And that alone fills so many longings, right?
That's right. And I was, that is so right. And I'm glad you talked about that because that's what I think. I think there's so much longing in a person's life and in a person's heart, and they don't even realize what that longing is. And it's God. They're longing for God. And when he says he satisfies the longing soul, and I was thinking about the things that we've all longed for, but love, acceptance,
right,
understanding, peace. We long for peace. We long for forgiveness. We long for a settling within our spirit. We long for answers.
Yes.
We long for connection and validation. And it's so good to know that he satisfies the longing in our souls, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. And that satisfaction and the hunger within our souls, he satisfies the longing and the hunger. And it's just a wonderful thing. And then Psalm 63:5, for my soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And then we go on to Psalm 65. There's so many satisfaction guarantees in
Psalm.
Oh my
goodness. Yes.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. And then in Psalms 103, I think we all know
yes,
this one.
Yes, yes.
God satisfies your mouth with good things that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And I just thought that was so good. He satisfies our mouth with good things.
Right. And he says, if you read earlier in that, he says, bless the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. You're commanded not to forget these benefits. And he lists them there. And that's one of them. That is a benefit. And you're not supposed to fit. You're supposed to praise him. Bless the Lord. You're supposed to praise him for those. And You're not supposed to forget them. That's a command. Don't forget these benefits.
Yeah. And then I go from Psalms to Matthew, and in Matthew 5, 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Hunger. Hunger. There's that hunger again for righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And I just think those satisfactions are wonderful. But then we get to the satisfaction guarantee part, that word guarantee. And I just think of the one scripture, I think we all know it by heart, so many people around the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that is a guarantee. If I don't know any other guarantees, I know that is a guarantee. But that brings me to another thing in the scripture that I've been thinking about is if-then statements.
Oh, sure.
We've all heard of if-then statements.
All the conditional.
That's exactly right. And so an if-then statement is this. A conditional statement, also called an if-then statement, is a statement with a hypothesis followed by a conclusion. So if we believe,
right,
we will be saved.
Correct.
We need to believe, and then we'll be saved. If we'll be saved. And then we have a guarantee. We have to believe, but then when we do, then we're guaranteed to have everlasting life. And that's the if-then there. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust in you. And there's that if-then again. If you trust in God, if you trust him and keep your mind steadfast on him, then you will be in perfect peace.
Correct.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Did you have some if-then?
I don't know about the if-thens, but I guess it is, because when you read it, when we talked about status, and you brought this to me, I was thinking about this, not knowing, because we don't practice.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we both get the subject and how the Lord lead us and study. And when I thought about satisfaction, I thought about contentment. When someone's satisfied, they become content. I mean,
right.
And it brought me to the scripture in Matthew when the Lord's saying not to worry. You know, you don't worry about all the little things. And he says it in Matthew 6, why take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. You know, they're more beautiful than Solomon. And he goes down to, you know, if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is clothed today and cast in the oven, how much more shall he clothe you? And he says, don't take thought of these things. What shall we drink? For all these the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. And this is the verse that brings it home. But, and this is an if then, seek ye first. So yeah, that's what you have to
love
do first.
Love that scripture.
Do that. If you do that, this is what's going to happen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And the first part of it. Seek first.
Yes, seek first. Right. If you seek first God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And I got to thinking about that, and there's a parable, and I think many things have been taught from this parable, but I see a lesson of the need and the necessity for being humble and being content with what the Lord has provided, because if you trust in him, he will provide your needs every day. And we see this in Matthew 20. I'm sure a lot of people have spoken a lot of things, and that's the nice thing about God's word. It's so powerful, and there can be so many lessons brought out of this, but this is how it speaks to me for this lesson. And in Matthew 20, it says, for the kingdom of heaven, that means this is how God looks at things, is like unto a man that's a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. So what we have here, this first group that came to work, they came to an agreement. He, you know, if you work for me, then they agreed for a penny. Now that's in the King James. If you do some studying, I believe it translates like the Roman denarius, which was known at the time to be a wage for a day's of work. It would supply your need. Your needs would be supplied with a denarius. I know the King James says penny, but it was, and even in my margin, it says the usual day's wage for a laborer. And then he went about the third hour and saw others standing in the market and said, go ye into the vineyard. And this is different. He didn't agree with them for anything. He said, whatsoever is right, I will give you. So they went to work just trusting that he would be fair and give them what was needed to them. And they went their way. And then he did it again. He went about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand you here all day idle? They said, well, no one's hired us. And he said, you go into the vineyard and whatsoever is right, you shall receive. I mean, they didn't even agree on it. They just believed him that he would pay them what they needed. Whereas the ones that came in first, it looks like there was a little bit of a negotiation. Because they had to agree upon it. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said he had called the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when he came to the ones that were hired the 11th hour, they received every man the penny or the day's wage. But when he came, they supposed that they to the first, they supposed they should receive more, because and likewise they each got their penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. And he answered and said, friend, I didn't do wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? Take that's thine and go your way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what with his mind my own? Is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And then it goes on to say, for many shall be called and few chosen. And how that speaks to me is those first ones, they were working for a wage. They were seeking their own, you know, and right, they did. Yeah. And I'm sure they worked hard, and we should work hard. Mm-hmm. But the others came later, and the Lord rewarded them. He met their need because the householder is the Lord. We have to understand that. And those that came later. And I think it speaks back to some other parables when you see it in light of this. And I know a lot of people have taught different things. There's so many scriptures where Jesus says, don't seek yourself first, seek the things of the Lord, or don't exalt yourself. Or when you seek seats, you know, if there's a show, don't seek the high seat, go to the low, and then they'll raise you up. You know, they'll say, hey, come up higher. And I think that's the same. It says, seek ye, so the last will be first, the first will be last. I think those that seek themselves to be up first, they will see maybe they're put back, but those that come later or those that don't seek themselves, they humble themselves, they rely on the Lord. They did not even ask. They just worked the day believing that he would be fair with them, and they were content. They were very content, whereas the ones that agreed weren't so content, and they got a little bit of a rebuke there. There's another scripture in Luke 12, and it actually, the one in Luke 12 actually leads into the same teaching as Matthew about seeking first the kingdom of God. We see that there were, you remember the story about the rich man?
Oh, yeah.
And his fields did really well.
Yes.
And this is on his own labor. And what did he do? He said, I'm just going to build barns. I'm going to fill these things, and I'm just going to live it out, and I'm going to eat, drink, and
be merry.
And be merry. And, you know, he didn't put his trust in the Lord. He put his trust in his own and what he did. And he it says, I have it right here. And he said, I'll be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which you have provided? And Jesus says, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. See, he didn't seek the kingdom first. But Lord told us, if you seek the kingdom first, all these things shall be added. He did this in his own self, and it failed. And then the Lord, he goes in, it's the same lesson he follows. He said, therefore, take no thought of your life. And he goes right on down, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So we know it's the same lesson. This man, he tried to find satisfaction in his own self, and it did not end well for you. And Jesus said, goes on to say, you can find contentment in the Lord. If you seek him first, you will be satisfied. He will meet your daily needs. You know, that denarius that was given to the laborers met their whole needs for the day.
Yeah, and God wants to meet us and give us contentment and satisfaction, but we have to allow him to.
Oh, sure. Right. You know, in 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment.
Godliness with contentment.
Yes. Godliness with contentment. And oh, back, I don't know if I have anything more. There was another little lesson in the one in where it said, many are called, few are chosen. I believe that goes back to where Jesus said, straight's the gate, you know, there are few that find it. And so many lessons in the Word of God. But I think the necessity of being humble, relying on God, and being content in His reward will satisfy your every longing, seeking Him first.
Oh, yeah. And I think that satisfaction guarantee, that it's so profound throughout the Scriptures and the if-then statements. And I was just looking at Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, or those who hope on the Lord, will renew their strength.
Oh, that's a great verse.
They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. So there's the if-then statement again. If you wait on the Lord, if you hope in the Lord, He's going to renew your strength. He's going to make you soar on wings like eagles. And then one of my absolute favorite scriptures in the Bible, I always say that. I've got so many favorites, but Philippians 4.
Oh, right.
4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. If you rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious with anything, but in every situation, if you pray and petition, and if you show thanksgiving, and you present your request to God, then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then I love this one in Matthew 11, come. Simple. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and if you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. And I'm reminded of words to an old hymn. All my life long, I have panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hope could quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. We talk about, what do we crave? What does our soul long for? Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. He satisfies. He satisfies that longing through His blood. I now am saved. In our humanness, we fall short. We can go through all these scriptures of the satisfaction guarantees and the if we do this,
right,
then statements. But in our life, we fall short. And I can tell you that in my own life, there would be times, and you've been with me in those times, when I was so exhausted, so tired, that I couldn't pray. But God was still able to meet me and help me wherever I was. So even though there's those if-then statements, if I could just do just a tiny, tiny bit, He will meet me where I am. And probably my absolute favorite scripture, because this is the last scripture my dad and I ever discussed, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. That's a guarantee. That is a guarantee.
Sure.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young and am now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them abandoned. I've never seen the righteous deserted. That's a guarantee.
Right.
That's a guarantee. Nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. That's a guarantee. That's not just maybe. That is a guarantee. And that scripture reminds me, I can just see a little one. Just if we think back about Maria and Tyler even, in my mind's eye, the two-year-old, and you know, the two-year-old that hobbles around, that's just learning to walk.
Right.
And his dad is grabbing his hand, and the toddler's pulling away. The toddler is pulling away, and he doesn't want dad to hold his hand. And he's, because he wants to run. He wants to run, even though he doesn't quite get it yet.
Yes.
And dad's holding his hand. And the kid starts to fall. But see, then there's dad holding his hand.
That's right.
There's dad holding his hand. And God's the same way with us. And you know, if we aren't holding God's hand, it's because we let go.
That's right.
Not him. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to let go of our hands. And the only way we let go, I think, is when we kind of push away. We're not reading like we really should read, or we're not praying, or we're not going to church, or maybe we're not fellowshipping with others. But if we hold on to his hand, he's going to take care of us. And even sometimes when we take our hand away, he's there to grab it.
That's
true. He's there to grab it anyway, and he's going to keep us from falling, because that's what he said he would do. We will not be utterly cast down. It's a guarantee. It is a guarantee. And then in Isaiah 41:10, which goes along right with that, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I will. That is a guarantee.
Yes, it is.
That is a satisfaction guarantee. The Bible is full of 100% satisfaction guarantees. And he has a way, God has a way of taking any little crumb that we can possibly give and making it big and doing big things with it. And I think, you know, sometimes, and I think you and I both have been in situations where we probably couldn't do anything.
Right.
But God was still there.
Yes, he was.
And God still took care of the situation. And I'm very grateful and thankful for that. Do you have anything else more?
Well, I didn't have anything written down, but you jogged my memory, and I now
oh, well, sure.
I'll just take off here.
Yeah.
No, I really won't. But you were talking about the if-then statements.
Yeah.
And that's all in being a doer of God's word. I know people get caught up on, you know, our salvation's not based on works. But there's so many things in God's word. If you're a doer of his word, if you do that work or believe or do what he said, you'll get this result. And like you said, if you rejoice and you turn things over to the Lord, that peace, like in Philippians, that peace just comes upon you. If you want peace, do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Yeah.
If you want these things added, seek first the kingdom of God. And you see, and then when you were talking about, the not being utterly cast down on the child, my mind goes to Peter. And
oh, yeah.
If there's a storm, he sees Jesus on the sea, and he says, "If that be you, Lord, bid me come." Well, Jesus said, "Come," right?
Yes.
And that's the word of the Lord. So he was a doer of God's word. The word said, "Come." Jesus is the word. The word said, "Come." He was a doer of the word. And what did he do? Peter walked on the water.
Yes, he sure did.
I know a lot of times we look down, what a failure here. Peter walked on the water, and yes, I cannot criticize. I have never done it.
Right.
have you walked on the water? I've never walked on water.
No.
But we do see, he took his eye off being a doer of the word and looked at the circumstances of life. He looked at the rain and the winds around him, and it said he began to sink. And what did he say? "Help me, Lord." And even in sinking, he might have tripped, like the psalm said, but he was not utterly cast down. Jesus was right there.
He was right there.
And they walked back together.
Yes.
They walked back together. It's something.
It really is something. And that is the goodness of God. And that is the mercy of God. And that is God meets us where we are. And we are not cast. We might fall, but we're not utterly cast down. And that is God is good. God is amazing.
Yes,
and
he is.
The word is full of satisfaction guarantees.
That's true.
The biggest one of all, and the biggest guarantee of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. That is a guarantee. And you have been listening to the Created to Soar podcast, brought to you by Wedgwood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community. And it's brought to you by DevoteToday.com. How will you devote today? And beginning next Wednesday, July 24th, you can check out Devote Today's new look. It's DevoteToday.com, and you can read devotionals, blogs, scripture verses, and you can listen to more Created to Soar podcasts. You can also share your prayer request and life events, and you can contact me through the website to speak at your next event or share at your small group. Thank you for listening.